Bush and Richie here with your daily takeaway. An observation that I wanted to make to you, Bush, and it's probably something that you've worked out already because you have been a long-term cyclist. I've only just taken it back up again.
Uh-huh.
What's the point of bells on bikes these days? Every bike is sold with a bell, but I have discovered as I'm going out cycling, there's no point having a bell on a bike these days because every time you ding it, the person in front of you, whether it's along some riverside path or whatever, they're listening to stuff. They've got little headphones in on it, and no one hears you ding.
I literally don't know why people or how people go around with headphones on or whatever, because it's just so dangerous, doesn't it? Like, for me sometimes as well, I can hear almost like the air of the car. Like, it changes the atmosphere around you. You can hear the tyres. Because some of these electric cars, you can't hear them at all. If you were listening to a podcast or listening to music, you wouldn't get that at all.
No.
Why would you dice with your life? Do you know what I mean?
It's so frustrating. So I'm like, I can see someone ahead thinking, right, give them a ding. Ding. No, they've not moved. They're listening to Stephen Bartlett, some kind of chief exec talk or something or other.
Yeah.
Like, no, ding, ding, ding. I'm here. And then you just sort of like squeeze past, getting brushed by nettles, and you're like, your podcast.
Do you know what I've ended up doing? I've turned into a right old man when I cycle, because obviously cycle in like in London to come to work. I always have to go say stuff like, on your right. You know, like some old cyclist, come in on your right, watch you on your right.
The Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Good to have your company, you lot. If you remember on yesterday's show, we were talking about that buzz you get when a summer of sport is ahead of you, and it makes you want to go out and play. Obviously, we've got the Euros on the way, the Olympics and all that kind of thing. It makes you want to go outside and kick a ball.
It's fair to say we got a little bit overexcited yesterday.
We're very excited on yesterday's show, and a phrase kind of popped up in our chat with you guys yesterday about it that kind of resonated of our school days, and that was jumpers for goalposts.
Yes.
And it kind of took us back to, do you remember the game Wembley that used to play as a kid? I don't know if that's still a thing these days. We used to play a lot when I was at school, when I was little. And that was, you had one goalkeeper, everyone was out for themselves, so it's everyone versus everybody else. And if you score a goal, you're through to the next round. You stand behind the goal and you kind of whittle it down. But we want to relive the joy of the school days game Wembley on home time this evening, but with a bit of a difference. Because back in the day, you used to pick your favourite football player to represent. So I used to be Kevin Sheedy from Everton or whatever. But we want to do theoretical Wembley tonight on home time. So instead of picking a footballer to represent in this game, pick someone in your life, could be a famous person, could be someone just in your kind of family or anything like that, that's had a lasting impression on you.
Now, for example, for me, if I think about my 47 years on this planet, the person who's made the most lasting impression on me, Daniel Craig.
Out of everyone in your
life? Out of everyone in my life,
this
yes.
This is incredible.
Daniel Craig. I'm not trying to name drop, but seriously, the guy had such a crisply ironed white shirt when I interviewed him for a Bond film. And not just that, but his eyes were the most piercing blue you have ever seen. And I don't think a gentleman has ever mesmerised me more than Daniel Craig.
So if we were playing Wembley, you would be Daniel Craig.
He was an impressive gentleman. And also, I think when you think about it, yes, you are playing a game of Wembley.
Yes.
So I'd like to think one-on-one with the goalkeeper will be startled by his piercing blue eyes and Craig scoring and he's straight through.
You could channel pure Bond.
Yes.
Okay, so that's good. So we're getting a bit of an idea on this here in theoretical Wembley. Out of the blue there, out of all the people in Richie's life, Daniel Craig has left the biggest impression on him.
Sorry to all friends and family.
He's impeccably turned out. You can't argue with it. Who would you like to represent you then in theoretical Wembley tonight on home time?
Nick the Landscape Gardener says Keanu Reeves.
Oh, wow. So he's going to be Keanu Reeves.
He is going to be Keanu Reeves in the game of Wembley. Nick says, just for being great. Sam's on the phone with a name, but a technicality first, Sam.
For your Scottish listeners, obviously we didn't call it Wembley, we called it World Cup, most often Cuppy.
Cuppy, a game. Cuppy. If you ask people to play a game of Cuppy, I think there might be a bit of explanation needed in the modern era.
Yeah, that was left for later on. We used to play Cuppy Doubles.
Cuppy doubles.
I don't want to play Cuppy Doubles. I shan't be inviting Richie to play Cuppy Doubles. Sam, who would you like to represent you then in this theoretical game of Wembley World Cup?
Well, I personally became a bit obsessed with QI in the last 10 years, so definitely be Stephen Fry.
Now, he's a big Norwich City fan. He loves his football, does Stephen Fry.
Yeah, and if we played Cuppy Doubles, he's quite tall as well, so I could just ping it in. He'd scored quite a lot of goals.
Yeah. So you would like to play Cuppy Doubles with Stephen Fry because you think he'd be good in the air?
Yeah, I think he would like that, yeah.
Good lads, good to speak to you.
Helen in Reading says Roger Daltrey to represent me in a game of Wembley. He's a sweet guy. I've met him twice. And he was very useful on the pitch in his 30s.
That's a good point. Weirdly, when I saw that text earlier on, I thought she said Timothy Dalton. I was thinking, I can't imagine him being like a fox in the box. You know what I mean? The person I would like to represent or to be tonight, Matthew, in our theoretical Wembley, it's quite a weird one, right? You know, like you're saying, it's someone that's had an effect on your life.
You surprised me.
Do anyone else, right, listen to this, have a situation where they've been at school and for some reason, like a peripheral historical character stays in your head, becomes a bit of a joke amongst your group of friends? We became obsessed with a German scientist called Fritz Haber during the...
Right.
He created a thing called the Haber-Bosch process, which we had to learn about when I was doing chemistry at GCSE. He's just a little bald fella with glasses, and we always used to go on about Fritz Haber.
Wow.
What would Fritz Haber do, I think, was our little gag. Because he's just kind of a knockabout fun maverick. So I think I'd be him.
And you can see he'd be good at a game of Wembley.
Imagine him just going up like a salmon with his cue ball noggin and heading it at the far post. Good old Fritz. What he's like.
Could have been here all day to try and come up with that as a guess, but well done.
And also, you know, he's a German fella as well. They always get results in the end, don't they?
They do. Very good in the tournaments, yes.
Good at penalties, etc.
Exactly. You've got excited about it, haven't you, Dave?
When I was a kid and stuff like that, we'd reenact stuff. So you watch an FA Cup final. Now, your team might not be playing, or they might be. You go out straight after FA Cup final and reenact it. You play the football game, wouldn't you?
So is there a particular goal that you remember reenacting with your friends back in the day, Dave?
Not a particular goal. I mean, I watched Everton and Liverpool in the... I think it would have been the 86 final.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Sorry, I don't worry about it. Hey, trials for Everton, mate. Anyway... I remember it weren't a goal like Russia, right, like that, but it was the save that Grobler did.
I think
that was the 86 or it was the 89 one where he, like, they were Everton try for Robin and he just, like, ran back and tipped it over the boat. Just stuff like that.
I think when it's fused into your memory, seeing it once and then that was it stays with you more, doesn't it?
It does actually stay with you more. I mean, we used to be out doing everything, playing stuff. Like Richie said, put jumpers down for goalposts.
The great thing about jumpers for goalposts is it's almost the absolute opposite of VAR because you never truthfully knew whether it had gone in or not because it just basically scuffed the top of a hoodie.
And it caused so many arguments because, like, if you were playing, you always got a group of kids and you'd all run in one direction near enough and you'd have arguments saying, no, it went in, no, it didn't go in, it was brilliant.
Do you know what would be good, actually? And the thing about this particular tournament in Germany, just as an homage to the days of jumpers for goalposts, what about, rather than it just being like, you know, netting behind the goal so they can get the ball back quickly, why don't they have the back of somebody else's yard so you have to go and ask, see if you can get it back?
Yes.
Someone of your mates in there.
Exactly. And then the next door neighbour goes, if that comes over here again, I'm going to put a knife in it.
As a kid goalkeeper, that was one of the things that scarred me because if I let a goal in, I then have to go and run and get it because you never played in places with nets.
Run the gauntlet.
Well, that's it, exactly. And you always, you set a kid whoever kicked it and he kicked it way past. You said, right, you've done it, you go and get it now because I'm not moving from here, mate.
Well, listen, David, it's been brilliant to have you on. I think I feel like he's reignited a flame in our hearts for a game that involves jumpers for goalposts. So, Dave, great to have you on, and thanks so much.
Cheers, boss. Cheers, Richie. Have a good day, lads.
The Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
One of them situations where you walk past someone in town or something and they're wearing a perfume or an aftershave that reminds you of someone else. Isn't it incredible that the power of smell to teleport you back to different periods of time? I was in town last week and I walked past a girl who was wearing what must be, I'm not 100% sure this is the correct perfume, but a thing called Lulu. Do you remember a perfume called Lulu?
Right.
And it reminded me of my first ever girlfriend back in 250 years ago back in Torquay. And that's what she used to wear all the time. And I was like, wow. And it took me back to that era where I think back in the day, everyone used to have a certain scent, like a perfume or aftershave they used to wear. And it was your kind of like your thing when you were a teenager. So for me back in the day, it was an aftershave called Jazz. Do you remember Jazz? It wasn't just an aftershave, it was a way of life. A little bit crazy, black and white bottle. I was Googling it the other day. I think you can't get it anymore now, and there are people who've still got bottles of it. You know, like someone might have scotch, whiskey from 150 years ago. I think you can get it, but it's like 180 quid if you wanted to have Jazz in the modern era.
So did Jazz age? It aged well?
I'm not sure. I wish I could remember what Jazz smelt like. What is the smell of Jazz? I used to wear it all the time, and then I probably kind of shifted into a bit of jupe.
Now, that sounds a lot more a lot more chic than me. My signature scent of my teenage years was Lynx Java.
Oh, my word. There's a man in a hurry. That's just something to, like, wash with and stuff, isn't it? Is that actually aftershave?
I had the underarm deodorant. I had the shower gel. I had every form of Java that you possibly could have.
The whole of the Javas. I love it. But, I mean, I guess if you smell that now, you'll go straight back to being a teenager.
I've got a horrible feeling that the Java scent may well have been discontinued.
I love it. A little bit like the jazz. You smell it, you almost start to feel wet look gel in your hair. Yeah. It takes you back. Richie, what was yours?
Lynx Java. Lynx All right, Java. You don't need people to keep on hearing that, OK? I've mentioned it once, let's move on.
The bus driver's choice, I would say. John Brooks sent us a photo of Fahrenheit. He used to have Fahrenheit back in the day with this kind of like lava-like bottle. And hi to Phil, who sent a photo of something, he says a couple of quid from Home and Bargain. His aftershave of choice when he was a teenager, Kindred Spirits. mine back in the day was Jazz. You can't get it anymore. But the chicks used to love it back in the day. Well, not really. Rick in Dunstable says, mine was called Mandate in the late 70s, early 80s. Mandate. Sounds like something you might get through Parliament. A lot of people going for Blue Stratos, which is a bit of a classic. And this text, Paul here, I used to wear English Leather by Dana Splash.
Oh, wow.
English Leather by Dana Splash. He says, pure class.
Holly, what was your scent?
So my scent from back in the day when I was a teenager, I used to nick my mum's poison. But I still wear it to this day and a few months ago. And I still wear it now. And yeah, a lot of people don't like it, but I love it.
Brilliant. I mean, because I remember my auntie when I was a kid, she used to wear poison, which is fairly apt. And basically, it was this kind of mysterious bottle that looked like something that was from almost like an evil person in a Disney movie or something. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's pretty much me in a nutshell, to be honest.
And Holly, you're still wearing poison to the day. Are you still taking it off family members to wear it?
No, I asked for it for birthdays and Christmas now. I can't nick my mum's anymore.
You get to a certain stage, you've got to stand on your own 2 feet with the scent. And then, if you don't mind us asking, has it done the trick? Has it lured some of a relationship for you, Holly, the poison?
Oh, goodness me, yeah. I'm married to the guy I was in love with as a teenager. I lured him in with the poison and I've managed to keep him with the poison.
Oh, wow, there's an advert in that.
What about that? Amazing.
Get in touch with the Poison Corporation. They need that story.
Lifetime supply then.
Keep us posted. Jane has left us a voice note. Listen to this.
I was just listening to you talking about jazz on the radio just then, and it reminded me of when I was doing my driving test and my driving instructor wore jazz, and it was so strong and so powerful, like it's burnt into my nostrils all these years later. And I got into the car and I was like, oh, that's a strong aftershave. And I'll never forget, he goes, yeah, wear jazz aftershave, jazz talc, jazz body wash. I'd wear jazz underpants if they made them. Anyway, suffice to say, I passed my driving test first time because I thought there is not a chance I'm going to spend any longer in this car with this man than I need to.
There you go, folks, the power of jazz aftershave.
The Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
I had a Gary Lambert who sent us a photo of a thing called Le Mail. I reckon 5 bottles would have done me on a night out. My signature fragrance. I bought a new bottle a fortnight ago. I must be feeling youthful. Do you remember the kind of Jean-Paul Gaultier? It was like the torso of a man with stripes.
Yes, I do, yeah.
Iconic smell there, Gary.
Paul in Stockton says, used to wear Insignia. I would do the aftershave, the deodorant, the shower gel, shampoo, the lot. That is very much another one of my old ones. I've looked on eBay. You can still buy Insignia unopened, about 30 years old, for 30 quid.
This was blowing my mind, though, because I know people will buy a bottle of wine and keep it for 20, 30 years, whatever, or you know, a single malt. Why not with aftershave? So, you know, if you've got a bottle of jazz in the locker somewhere, it could be worth loads.
I had one of those sort of like roll-on stick things of Insignia. I wouldn't want to do a 30-year-old one of them on my armpit.
I think overall, from this show, I feel like your scents and your aftershaves from back in the day are for a man on the move quickly.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Not looking around.
That's me.
Yeah. The fugitive's choice. Let's go to the phones. We've got Miranda on the line. Miranda, what was your signature scent?
Exclamation.
Wow. Now, was this like an exclamation mark as the symbol, or did it actually say the word exclamation?
It was the symbol. It was the exclamation point. It was a white bottle with a black exclamation point as the lid sort of thing.
Wow. And what did that kind of smell like back in the day when you were a teenager?
Oh, goodness me. Let me think. I can't remember what jazz smells like, and that was amazing.
Wow.
Well, I can't believe you used to wear jazz.
If Bush walked past in jazz, Miranda, may I ask, would you'd have turned your head?
My heart would flutter.
It did have that effect back in the day. If you're in Torquay in the mid-90s, it had that effect on Fleet Walk.
I'm afraid, yeah, it would.
And if I walk past in Java, Miranda?
Oh, well, I can't remember Java exactly, but I know Africa's all right.
Yeah, I think if it was the present day, Richie would probably be in Lynx Africa and Soap on a Rope by Karate.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
The Daily Takeaway. Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
So there's the show. Hope you enjoy it. Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway. A little bit we were talking about at the beginning about Richie being unsatisfied with his bell on his bike.
Thank you.
What do you think the future is then? Because bells have been around for years and they've not improved the tech.
Teleportation.
What?
Teleportation. If there was a little button on your dashboard, on your handlebar for a bike, isn't it? And all it needs to do is pick up whoever is in front of you, just move them six yards to the left.
Oh, right.
Through you go, and then they just move back. They don't even realise it's happened.
So your view of the future with cycling is they've invented teleportation.
Yes.
They're not going to use that on getting you from A to B more quickly.
Correct.
They're just using it specifically to move dawdling pedestrians out of the way.
Correct, yeah, I think that would be a better use of teleportation. I think if someone invented it and then they just use it to transport us from A to B, that's a massive leap and I think it's a risky one. People get lost in the teleportation journey. Just do something simple, move people on pavements.
It's not what I was thinking when I was watching Tomorrow's World, but hey, it works.